be talking about coverage, adult vaccination coverage, and the National Immunization Survey Adult, which was done in the summer of 2007. This was the third adult survey associated with the National Immunization Survey, but this one did not use the NIS sample, but used two sources of sample, which we'll talk about in a little more detail. This is also the first of the three to include all adults 18 plus and older. And one of the major reasons of doing this was to get early coverage and baseline coverage data for HPV, zoster vaccine, and Tdap in the U.S. And we were able to do that, I think, before other surveys will have their data available. These are the main individuals on the project team, which include the staff of our assessment branch in ISD and our contractor, the National Opinion Research Center, NORC, at the University of Chicago. This was these results were presented at a National Foundation for Infectious Disease first ever adult immunization news conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on January 23, and was big news. The results were summarized in the JAMA issue March 5 in 2008, and those that look at these and tabulate the total audience reach, estimated about 144 million individuals, possibly could have been reached through 346 outlets. And the basic finding, as quoted there by NFID writer Len Novak, is that there were dismal vaccination rates among adults in the United States, particularly for the three most recently recommended vaccines, which protect from shingles, human papillomavirus, HPV, and pertussis. Today, what I have here is the background behind these headlines. We'll go over these coverage levels and also talk about methods and present preliminary results of a partial analysis of reasons for non-vaccination by vaccine, and present estimates of the quantity of early off-label vaccine use for flu mist, Tdap, HPV, and zoster or shingles vaccine. The methods are summarized here. This is not a random digit dial survey, but it is randomly selected, and it is nationally representative, selected by age strata and race ethnic targeted, from race targeted ethnic targeted lists. It's a sample of households with landline telephones, and one randomly selected qualified adult was interviewed by telephone. We did some oversampling in the 50 to 64 and 65 plus age groups, and specifically among Hispanics and African Americans to have adequate power to analyze subgroups in these populations. We weighted the results to the national population. We have an N of 7,055, and the interviews were conducted from early May through August and a couple days into September. Vaccine questions included those for flu, pneumonia, TD, Tdap, shingles, Hep B, Hep A, and HPV, and some of the details there on the slide will give you more information. Other topics that were related to vaccination for which we asked questions were reasons why vaccinated and why not, if the doctor recommended vaccination, or if he or she would they be vaccinated, high-risk conditions for flu and pneumonia, and whether or not they're a healthcare worker, the place that they received the flu vaccination, and then illness information included a history of influenza for the past season, 06-07, flu tests, whether they received that or not, and if so, the results, and if positive, did they use antivirals, how many flu days off did they need from work or school, and also the household contacts, and pertussis incidents and shingles incidents, and then demographics, the usual health insurance, family income, et cetera. Now, the two targeted lists were the National Health Interview Survey respondents who had already responded to the National Health Interview Survey, and we were able to stratify those by the three main age groups and three main racial ethnic groups. 40% of the sample was able to be drawn from there. That was as much as the numbers that could be provided by NHIS. And then we used a subcontractor, Survey Sampling International, SSI. They provided us with a supplemental list of U.S. phone numbers that were likely to be households stratified by the three age groups, and 60% of the sample was taken from that targeted list. We had the three age targets, or strata, and three race ethnic groups, Hispanic, Black, and other, which other was, of course, mostly white. This is a complicated slide, and it shows the three race groups and totals by age for each of the two samples, and then the summary. And the top row of numbers in each of the larger squares represents the total for that square. The pink shows a selection of cells in which the target was just not reached, lighter or the purple color shows just a selection of places where much more than the target was reached. And if you go to the right-hand lower corner, you see the summary cell there, a large box, 7,055 completed interviews, which was 110% of the target. And then for each of the age groups, either 100% or slightly more. But if you look at some of those pink cells, for example, in the combined under black, you see that only 70% of 18 to 49-year-old blacks were completed interviews, 70% of the target. And you see Hispanics in 50 to 64, only 84%. And those are not made up. Well, those were made up with other race groups in those age categories. But we are a little bit concerned about the effect on, possibly on a non-representative based on those deficiencies. I've included the legend on this slide and also the key findings, which we have talked about. This shows you the response rate, starting with the total number of selected telephone numbers, 166,000. It shows you that letters were mailed to 99% of these. And whether or not it was a household or a business was resolved on 64%. 83% of those resolved turned out to be working household numbers. And of those, 64% had a completion of the screening process. And that gave us a 9,507 eligible households with an eligible adult, or basically 17% of those households that were completed the screening. And then we had a 74% interview completion rate. And if you combine the resolution rate times the screening completion rate and the interview completion rate, you come up with a standardized overall response rate. It's called the CASRO of 31%. The most important finding here is that we had a 74% interview completion rate, which is a fairly strong completion rate. And also, we will be assessing whether a bias exists or not that may be due to a lower response rate. This slide we're not going to spend a lot of time with, but this shows you the crude sample sizes in each of demographic and age-specific, race-specific, education, and so forth cells, and then shows you the impact of weighting. And you'll see that because we oversampled, especially in those over 65, you see the dramatic change in distribution on age when it was weighted to the general population. You also see some changes with the race and changes in education and marital status and health insurance and so forth, income and so forth, probably related to mainly the oversampling of those over 65. Let's look at some selected results, talk about coverage. In general, flu and pneumo coverage was a little bit higher here in this 06-07 vaccination season as compared to what our standard is, which is a National Health Interview Survey in 2006 for influenza and pneumonia vaccination rates. And when you look at BRFUS, you'll see in comparison of BRFUS to the NHIS, a slightly higher estimates from BRFUS, which is a telephone survey, compared to the NHIS, a face-to-face survey. And that's been standard, maybe 5% we've seen over the years. Evidently, people are susceptible to over-reporting to a greater extent if they're interviewed by telephone. And this being a telephone survey, the rates are a little bit higher. If you go onto the website on NHIS, however, and look at their estimate for early release data, look at their estimate for flu vaccination, those 65 and over, it was 68.8%, which is exactly what ours was, 68.8%, which is sort of a surprise. But again, when you measure seasonal rates versus past 12 months, which is what's on the early release data in NHIS, you expect the seasonal rates to be a little bit lower than the past 12 months rates, I think, maybe as much as 4 or 5%. So there may be a little more over-reporting in this survey. And especially in some of the minority groups, as well as in the younger age groups, you'll see that the PPV rates are higher here than they are previously measured. Now, a couple of things that are important to point out. You see that the tetanus vaccination in the past 10-year rates are overall low, but even lower for those over 65. You see that the Tdap vaccination rate now, over after a two-year period, is only at 2%. I think you could probably expect that to be at least 10% based on the numbers of individuals that are getting their tetanus shot over the past 2 years at the coverage rate we see here, and it's only 2%. So that is not as high as it should be and would be expected. Now, this Tdap is the proportion of those that received their tetanus, reported receiving their tetanus shot in the last 10 years, who then knew that it was, whether or not, or that it was, in fact, in this case, a Tdap vaccination, 21%. This may indicate that providers, only one in five providers are really implementing the Tdap recommendations as they should. Here you see, then, the shingles or zoster vaccination rate for 60-plus at just under 2%. And this is the latest data and most recent available baseline coverage. You see the off-label use of 50 to 59 at just about half that. And it, although it looks small, it probably represents, I think I estimated that about 160,000 people are anxious to get the vaccine. 50 to 59-year-olds and providers are giving the vaccine by prescription to those group. And it's interesting that the effectiveness of the shingles vaccine is so much greater for the 50 to 59-year-olds than it is for those, say, over 70, that if I were eligible, I would certainly want to get the shingles vaccine before it became ineffective, you know, at a very high high rate of ineffectivity after I aged a little bit, because I wouldn't want to get the herpes zoster, that's for sure. These are the newest Hep A vaccination rates nationwide. These are not necessarily the recommended groups, but this is the general population rate, and so it's nice to have those available for the first time. You can see that rates are a little bit higher in the younger groups. Hepatitis B rates, these again are not in just those high risk, but are in all. And HPV is shown there, 10% for 18 to 26-year-old females have been vaccinated. Once again, this is the newest, latest, and maybe the only national rates available at the present time. And 1% of the 27 to 49-year-old females are getting this off-label. The legend there, the key findings, and some additional information for your review. Now let's take a look at the race, ethnic issues, the coverage by race, ethnicity. And you see that for those 65 and older, the influenza vaccination rate among Hispanics has come up to whites, according to this data, which would mean that the disparity we've been seeing over the years is totally gone. I'm not sure that's our best interpretation of that finding. It may be more over-reporting, or the Hispanic population may be different than, say, the NHIS sample. And I'm not sure which is better, more representative of the U.S. We've done some preliminary analysis. It looks like our distribution of Hispanic population is very similar to community survey done by the census, and so I'm not sure why we have a little higher rate there, but that's going to be investigated. You see the black population has a lower flu vaccination rate, and both minority groups are lower with the PPV rates. With the tetanus rates, African Americans in particular are lower. Tdap, you see that the African Americans appear to be a little bit higher than the other two groups, but again, the sample sizes are small, power is low, confidence intervals are very wide and overlapping. You see with the shingles, shingles vaccine, it doesn't look like Hispanics are getting vaccinated as well, with shingles vaccine, and they're not getting as vaccinated as well with Hep A vaccine, or as well with Hep B vaccine, and not at all well for the HPV vaccine. And it'd be interesting to discuss maybe the reasons for that. Maybe Hispanic parents do not want to vaccinate their younger females, because daughters, because they are worried that it'll give them license to have premarital sex. That may be a factor. And now, main reasons for not being vaccinated across these six vaccines for which we asked the question. The populations in this table are those for which the vaccine is recommended. With flu, it happens to, it's for everybody in this particular table. We have everybody represented, just not those in the target groups. And you see that the top reasons for not being vaccinated are not needed. If the individual felt that the vaccine was not needed, either they don't get sick, they don't get that particular, or they don't know that they needed it, they don't know it's recommended, or the doctor did not recommend it, or there were side effects. And you see that vaccine cost is shown there, because we have been looking at cost issues, and we wanted to see how that rated as the main reason. Now, we know that vaccine cost is probably an important reason, but this was asked in an open-ended format, and they just didn't come up with the vaccine cost as being the main reason near as often as these other four more commonly reported main reasons. Now let's look at health insurance and no health insurance. And the effect of having health insurance obviously raises or is associated with a higher vaccination rate, probably on average about 1.5 times greater level of vaccination, except for a tetanus, Tdap tetanus vaccination, Tdap in particular. This would be better represented probably with histograms, but we this line graph does just show you overall quickly that the impact of association with higher rates in health insurance. Incidentally, I should go back and point out that 13.3% of individuals had no health insurance. That's a weighted percentage. And this would be no health insurance at the time of the interview. I think when we look at insurance rates in the National Health Interview Survey, when it's measured, when you're talking about no insurance on that particular day of the interview, usually that correlates in about 75% of individuals of having no insurance throughout the entire 12 months. This table shows you the relationships, the details, the numbers that go behind that line graph that we just looked at. That's a continuation of that. And now let's look at the poverty index as related to health insurance and specifically influenza vaccination. Having no health insurance was associated with lower vaccination rates than in individuals had health insurance for influenza vaccination. In those 18 to 64 years. Here the no insurance rate was 18%. However, the impact was much greater at under the 200% poverty index and greater on those 400% poverty index or higher. And these are the numbers that go with that line graph. Then we had a question related to influenza vaccination asked of those who are not vaccinated in this last season, making your decision to not receive the flu vaccination this past season, how important was your out-of-pocket costs? Would you say very important, somewhat important, not too important, or not at all important? And we have the yes-no answers divided up between those below 100% poverty line or impoverished, below the poverty line, or those above. Now, if you looked at the individual groupings of those above at 100, 200, 300, 400, the pattern did not change. So we've grouped them together, and you see that cost being 7.5% reported for those insured versus 21.3% important, very important for those uninsured is quite different in that category. But you look those with 100 plus income. If you look at those below the poverty line, the difference is not as great. And as to the importance of, so if we were to provide a VFC-style health insurance, would it raise the rate for those under 100% poverty line? Not as much as it likely would for those who are have more income. And this shows this relationship. And you can see the difference between yes and no for those above 100% is quite a bit more dramatic than the difference between yes and no for those under 100%. So there must be something else playing a factor here, and not just cost. If you provide insurance, it's not going to raise the rate as much, near as much, among those who are severely impoverished. We have the key limitations. I see that we've run over. Those are pretty standard. You can take a look at those. And then conclusions overall, adult vaccinations are low. Race-ethnic disparities remain based on our preliminary reason analysis. Low coverage appears to be primarily due to lack of knowledge about the vaccine and their own need for it, lack of recommendations by their physician, and their concern about side effects. Uptake of the new vaccines, Tdap, shingles, and HPV is also low and expected to increase as knowledge and awareness increases among targeted populations. Off-label use might be occurring at a rate of about 1% per year for shingles and HPV. A little bit less than that. Our findings were about 0.4% for nasal spray influenza vaccine among 65 and older. And the prevalence of nasal spray influenza vaccination remains very low. Thank you.